Outdoor gear company Bass Pro Shops announced today that it will acquire Cabela's for $5.5 billion. A part of that agreement, Cabela's shareholders will get about $65 per share in cash, according to a company statement.
Trump tweeted in 2012, half of Americans don't pay income tax despite crippling government debt.
Let me say this. He has paid millions of dollars in taxes. He's paid state, local, and federal taxes. If he did not, he would be in jail. But the reality is, he has paid taxes. He has abided by the law.
The International Monetary Fund adding the yuan to its elite reserve basket at the weekend, though many see this as a largely symbolic move. That's because in the eyes of investors and traders, China is still a long way from fully opening up its currency and its markets.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. Today is Tuesday. It's October 4th, 2016. Welcome to another edition of The Opening Bell. Welcome to another business day as we move into the full of October here. It is that time of the year when the spooks come out, the Halloween ghosts and goblins. Let's hope we don't see any of them on Wall Street over the next few days. We have plenty to talk about in terms of the market, so let's get right to it. On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, here's what the numbers are looking like. Overseas, the markets in Asia, generally mixed. The morning there has been somewhat mixed for mainly the Hong Kong market and the Sensex this morning. Things are pointing up over the last half hour or so. The Nikkei is up almost a full percent at 136 points, and the Asian Dow is up as well. In Europe this morning, again, more green arrows. The Dow, the European Dow is up almost 106 points. The DAX in Germany is up 67. The CAC in France is up 39 points. And the FTSE in London this morning is up as well. Here in this country, Dow futures pointing toward opening gains later this morning on Wall Street. Dow futures are up about 36 points. The NASDAQ futures and S&P futures are a bit higher as well. Again, as we move on to the opening bell, here's what's driving the markets this morning. The Nikkei led gains in Asian stock markets. The dollar rose against the yen. There's still a lot of heaviness on the markets, international markets, from the Deutsche Bank controversy. That seems to be subsiding as we move into midweek. Here in this country, at least, New York stocks fell in light trading yesterday as investors dumped former darlings of the market. Real estate companies and utilities went by the wayside here in this country yesterday. Retailers are dangling perks like higher pay, extra discounts, and even more flexible schedules to lure in temporary holiday workers in a tighter labor market this holiday season. They're also more determined to lock in their workers earlier. Macy's and Target are holding their first nationwide recruitment fairs, and others, like consumer electronics chain H.H. Gregg, are making it easy to apply for temporary jobs via mobile devices. There is a lot of that coming up over the next week. We'll tell you more about that. But if you have any plans to maybe do some holiday work at Macy's and Target, head to their websites immediately. They're planning those job fairs within the next few days. Detroit, U.S. auto sales fell slightly in September. Demand for new cars and trucks seems to be sputtering. Sales dropped almost a half a percent to almost 1.4 million in September, according to Auto Data Corp. That's the fourth month over year-over-year declines for this year. Automakers reported mixed results on Monday. Nissan rose 4.9%. Hyundai, Subaru reported a 4% sales gain. Toyota sales rose 1.5%. General Motors and Honda sales were flat for the month. Fiat Chrysler up 1%. Ford and Volkswagen both reported huge 8% declines. Well, have you ever been out maybe in the evening on a Friday having a few cocktails and maybe a few too many cocktails? Do you become another person? Is there someone inside of you waiting to get out after a few cocktails go down? We are focusing on that today because there's a new study out that says there could be, and they've identified who those people are. Let's bring in one of the study authors who is with us today from the Missouri Institute of Mental Health at the University of Missouri, St. Louis, Dr. Rachel Winograd. Dr. Winograd, welcome to the Opening Bell.
Thanks so much for having me.
So this is an interesting article, and I bet you there's a couple of reasons why you did it. But first, let's give us listeners a sense of what it is that you looked at in terms of the types of drunks.
Okay, absolutely. So this is a study that we did when I was at the University of Missouri in Columbia, and we brought in nearly 400 young drinkers to report on themselves and in terms of how they are when they're sober and how they are when they're drunk. And we wanted to look at if we could conceptualize the way that people change under the influence of alcohol within the framework of personality, specifically the five-factor model of personality. So we looked at all these variables and their changes and how people are when they're sober compared to how they are when they're drunk. And that's important because we're not just looking at their drunk personality. We're looking at its relationship with their sober personality. And we found four different clusters of folks. So the first group we labeled the Hemingways because they didn't have anything particularly notable. And that was from Hemingway's biography that, you know, he was sort of cool and collected and stable when he was drunk. So these people changed less in conscientiousness and intellect when they were drinking. They didn't decrease in it nearly as much as the overall sample. The second group was Mary Poppins, and these people are notably high on agreeableness when they're sober. So nice, sweet, honest, trustworthy, that sort of thing. And they increase even more in that under the influence of alcohol. And they also increase more in conscientiousness and intellect than their peers who decrease significantly. So these are the people who are pretty reliable, kind, you know, nice and responsible drunks, if you want to put it that way.
So
the third group was, oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
There are two more quick groups. The one is the Mr. Hyde, and these are the people to watch out for. They decrease significantly in agreeableness, conscientiousness, and intellect much more than the sample. So these people might be more aggressive, less responsible, and sort of less on top of it. And the last group is the Nutty Professor, and these people are quite low in extroversion when sober, so pretty shy. But when they drink, they increase much more in extroversion than the rest of the group, striking that juxtaposition in their personality, and they decrease more in conscientiousness. So they get pretty, you know, outgoing, but also less responsible.
And so if you're listening this morning and wondering, what does this have to do with business? Well, we're going to tell you in a minute. We'll get into that as we continue our conversation this morning with Rachel Winograd. She's with the University of Missouri. On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, some stocks of local interest that we're watching. Sears shares are off almost a full percent after gaining some ground yesterday in early trading. These are pre-market shares, by the way. Boeing shares are up almost a full percent pre-market this morning. And Archer Daniels Midland stock is up almost a full percent this morning. Stocks of local interest as we check the market desk. Weeknights, WGN-TV presents Cubs Nightly, a nightly show for everything Cubs for as long as they're in the baseball playoffs. Watch Cubs Nightly weekdays at 6 on WGN-TV.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. The Dow Jones Industrial Average kicked off the fourth quarter yesterday with a 54-point loss, closing at 18,254. The S&P 500 dropped 7 points. The NASDAQ fell 11. Those generous Labor Day discounts weren't enough to bolster new car sales for September. The pace of selling is still historically strong, but more than 6 years of steady growth has been slowing. It was reflected in last month's year-over-year declines for most automakers. Retailers are offering higher pay, extra discounts, and more flexible schedules in an attempt to find temporary holiday workers in a tighter labor market. Macy's and Target are holding their first nationwide recruitment fairs. Some retailers are letting potential employees apply via their mobile devices. Later today, Google is expected to unveil new smartphones. The San Francisco product launch will also showcase other Google hardware initiatives, including a virtual reality headset and a voice-controlled speaker system called Home. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. We're on this morning with Dr. Rachel Winograd, who's with us from the University of Missouri, talking about a study she's done on the types of drunks. Dr. Winograd, I mentioned before we went to the break, how does this deal with business? But really, it deals with all kinds of aspects of life. Because, for instance, in business, sometimes we have to go out and close a deal, and sometimes it takes one or two or three drinks. And our personalities beneath us, when we start adding a little booze, might make that harder, right? I mean, this is sort of at the crux of why you did this?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, the general idea is that we're different when we drink, and we have lacked a language to define that difference and to explain it in the scientific literature related to alcohol. You know, it's very common in folklore and, you know, us all talking amongst ourselves about, oh, people are different when they drink. Absolutely, no question. But we didn't really have a framework to talk about it. So that's why we use the five-factor model. And the important thing to know is that you may change, and you may not change in ways that you're proud of or that you like. So the idea isn't so much to focus on these four specific types, but to maybe look at yourself and say, how am I when I drink? Do I like that person?
And so, the types, again, are Mary Poppins, Ernest Hemingway, Nutty Professor, Mr. Hyde. The Ernest Hemingway, I can see that sort of being an easy, you don't have to worry about it. But all these others might actually do you harm if you're in a sort of a business setting, right? And if suddenly you become Mr. Hyde and the person you're trying to win a contract from sees that, that may cancel the deal.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I'm not in the business world, but I've heard stories, and yeah, anything can happen. So the important thing about the Mr. Hyde group, too, and they did stand out as the most negatively changing group, is that it was associated with experiencing more negative alcohol-related consequences in the last year and displaying more symptoms of alcohol use disorder. So it's not meaningless that we put these people into these groups, because at least one of those groups is associated with actual behaviors that can be detrimental.
What is the main reason why you've done this study? I'm sure it's not business related, but what are you hoping to gain from not only the insight of people, but this when you add alcohol to the mix as well?
Yeah, well, I came from a research lab where we focus on addiction and alcohol use disorder. And so this is sort of within that environment, within that scope, that we came up with these questions, which is, again, talking about how we can talk about the sober to drunk changes that every drinker undergoes to some extent. So the idea being that eventually maybe this type of model or this type of language could be brought into a treatment setting, into a clinic, where you can have people have a conversation, an honest, eliciting conversation about how they change when they're drinking, if they're happy with that, or if they want to make some changes. And that's where you can get an in with someone.
Did any of these personality types, or these, for lack of a better word, I'll call them personality types, do they exist even without drinking? And that is, are they there just below the surface waiting to come out with some coaxing?
Yeah, so in a way, that's two different questions. Like, sure, there are personality types when we're all sober, and that's where the five-factor model was. That's what it was designed to measure, is basically people's baseline sober personalities that's just existing in the everyday world. And sure, there are all sorts of different groups that people fall into, and you can ask different personality researchers what those groups are. And then the other question is the idea of, is this something to be pulled out of someone? Is this just an extension? Is alcohol a truth serum? And that was not really borne out by this data. We did examine if people are just sort of more extreme versions of themselves when they're drinking, and we didn't really find that. The groups were based specifically on people, how they are when they're sober, and then the change when they're drinking. So we do see sort of different patterns across the four groups.
And that's interesting to note, too, because I think anybody who's been drinking with friends or in any sort of setting has always heard this phrase, a mean drunk, and mm-hmm. that has implications all over the place. So you didn't find that.
Well, we sort of did. I mean, I don't want to make too many, generalizations about this sample from this study, this group of people, and please don't assume that anyone in the world would fall into one of these four categories. That's not the goal at all.
Sure.
But if you are talking about, is there a bad drunk, this study would confirm that, yeah, a lot of the negative alcohol-related changes that we talk about could possibly be narrowed down to a subset of people when they drink, and that the way that they change in their mood and their affect and their behavior has direct implications on their clinical picture when they present to treatment. So there are people who are bad drunks, and often that's how we label a drinking problem, right? It's, that person is a real whatever when they're drinking, and they need to get help. And this is sort of what that's getting at.
Is there a launching point here for more study? What do you hope to look forward to as you continue this line of study?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I went in another direction since the study. Actually, the next logical step was to get people drunk in the lab and observe their personalities doing structured tasks under a standard dose of alcohol. So that's what we did. And, we still have data to analyze, but we did find that study was focused more on how people's self-perceptions of their own changes differ from a stranger's perceptions. And we did find differences in that. But going forward, like I said, I think it'd be really interesting to make this into a clinical research trial for people who are undergoing treatment for alcohol use disorder and seeing if incorporating an element of feedback, personalized feedback about their personality changes could lead to, improved outcomes.
Dr. Rachel Winograd from the University of Missouri, the Missouri Institute of Health, where she's at now in St. Louis. Good of you to be with us on the opening bell today.
Thanks so much. It was fun.
Thank you. It's 5:28. Over to the WGN newsroom. Vic Vaughn standing by. Vic.
Well, Steve, coming up, the latest on a hurricane over Haiti. We have a vice presidential debate tonight and hundreds of layoffs announced in Chicago. Those reports next.
This is the opening bell.
From ABC News Tech Trends, providing consent with an app. Sexual assault is a huge issue on college campuses across the nation, including Damon College in New York, where administrator Dr. Greg Nayer says they take it very seriously.
We have a system for addressing them swiftly, making sure that the complainant feels validated, that we are helping them in whatever way that they want help.
That help could come in the form of a new app called Sassy. It claims to help clarify consent when it comes to students hooking up. But some students, like Rico Cox, have their doubts.
When you're in the heat of the moment, I mean, I'm not going to lie, a lot of folks, they'll forget all about the app.
The app gives students the ability to sign a virtual consent agreement with their sexual partner. But Dr. Nayer points to one potential problem. What could happen if a person decides not to have sex after signing the contract?
It defeats the purpose of somebody having the right to be able to say no at any given point in time.
With Tech Trends, I'm Mona Rivera, ABC News.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is the opening bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. 5:40 on this Tuesday morning broadcast. A new Charles Schwab Chicago survey reveals Chicagoans believe it takes quite a bit of money to feel financially comfortable, in their words. And a lot more to be considered wealthy. Let's bring in Ken Novak, who's a vice president, senior financial consultant at Charles Schwab. This survey done recently. Ken, good morning. Welcome to the opening bell.
Thank you, Steve. Happy to be here.
Good to have you. There's some surprising things from the survey. First, let's hit the headlines here. What does it take to feel financially comfortable among Chicagoans?
Yeah, and definitely as the local cost of living here in Chicago is a major concern, where it takes an average net worth here in Chicago, the survey says, about $640,000 to feel comfortable, but a net worth of over $2.6 million to feel wealthy, which is quite a bite based on the cost of living that our residents are seeing.
Yeah, it seems $640,000, maybe it's just I'm kind of imprinting my own wealth or lack of it on this, but $640,000 seems kind of high.
Indeed. And one of the points from the survey points out that over half of the residents that responded said that Chicago is one of the worst areas in the country for cost of living, which added additional stress just keeping up with their monthly expenses, let alone getting to some of those higher net worths.
Yeah. Is that something that you found as you did the survey, that there were some contradictory sort of statements among people who responded?
And a lot of what people were looking at were saying, yes, we want to save for retirement, but what they actually were able to save was only about half of what their goal was.
What would you say is the biggest nugget to pull out of this survey, at least from your vantage point, from your view, in terms of how the local economy is doing?
Right. And I think, in there, despite some of the concerns about the cost of living, Chicagoans are still optimistic about the local business scene, optimistic about job opportunities. And where 60% of the Chicagoans said there are plenty of job opportunities, especially for young professionals. 85% still feel Chicago is a business hub. It really goes back to the importance of when you have a cost of living that's so high, it has such a huge impact on the residents' finances, that really creating a plan is where you need to start, and then investing early and tracking that progress over time.
Because it is sort of frightening to think that a lot of people, a majority of the people surveyed, feel that this cost of living is really spiking out of control, don't they?
It is indeed. And if you look at it, of the people that are saving, again, we mentioned that most aren't saving the full amount that they want. And retirement being one goal, obviously there's many other goals as well. We come back to, and really kind of try to tell clients that really focusing on creating a financial plan, where only 23% of the respondents of our survey here have created a written financial plan. However, of those people that have created that plan, 70% say they're confident in their ability to reach their financial goals, whether that's retirement, college funding, et cetera.
So the label wealthy, the $2.6 million is what people picked for that. Does that have any basis in reality from what you're seeing, or is it right in line with what you're seeing?
I think the wealthy and that $2.6 million just really goes to how expensive it is, Chicago being one of those large cities with a high cost of living, that in order to have that lifestyle that people are thinking about and dreaming about as they're younger, it does take a lot. And being able to set up that financial plan and continuing to focus on that and follow it, monitor the progress to make sure that you are indeed reaching your goals, whether it's just feeling comfortable with where you are, or obviously down the road becoming a little bit more wealthy as well.
These surveys are often hard to find nuggets of good and positive information, but there are a couple in this one I would guess you would agree, and that is people still consider the area to be, as you said, a business hub. They're still positive about business growth. So those things haven't fleeted. Those are not fleeting in terms of their mind, and those are still positives for this local community, right?
Indeed, I think some of the, as you mentioned, the nuggets that come out that are still positive. Chicagoans are still optimistic about the local scene here. With high marks, young professionals, large businesses, career growth, and then obviously the residents still feel Chicago is one of the best cities in the country for food and dining, local sports, arts, culture. That there's so many more things that Chicago brings. Obviously, that cost of living is one of those, but the residents are still pretty upbeat about the whole experience here in Chicago.
So, Ken, a couple of times in our short interview here, you've mentioned financial plan and the lack thereof in some cases. Are you finding a lot of people don't have that basic plan for their finances and for their retirement as well?
I think there's two things. So where we see 43% don't have any sort of plan whatsoever. So over a half of the respondents, again, only about 23% actually have a written plan that's written out that they can follow. And that really is the key, being able to create that plan with a financial advisor, sitting down, walking through what your goals are, and then making sure that you're accomplishing those along the way. Where those that have that written plan, 70% are confident in their ability to reach those goals. Where we just feel that successful investors realize that investing is a process. It's over a time period as opposed to just one particular event.
And I'm guessing that a plan is something more than just a note to yourself saying, I don't want to eat cat food when I retire.
True. And that is a good point to have in the plan somewhere. But to create it early, the earlier that you can start, the savings are building upon the savings and definitely creating the plan early and then making sure that you're staying focused with it.
Is it something that you can only do with a financial planner as well, or is it just recommended that you do that?
I'm one of the certified financial planners that we have at Schwab as well as here in Chicago, and there's definitely a benefit to working with a financial planner that can help really look at all the different focuses that you might have for savings. Again, you have retirement, you have education, you have first home, and there's so many things that you really can get bogged down in. Have a planner to help walk through those things. But even if you're just writing down what those goals are and saving an additional $50, $100 a pay period to help go towards some of those goals, nasty over time.
It's just sort of like a professional way of saying, this guy can help me not eat cat food when I retire, and you kind of know where all that. So are you positive then about the future, Ken, after seeing this survey, or are you concerned?
And definitely positive long term. You know, there are some concerns because we're in a city that does have a high cost of living, and so it's tough to balance that amount of how much do we save and how much do we invest and how much are we enjoying the city. There's so many things that the city has to offer, but finding that right balance, I think, is extremely important, and then staying focused to make sure long term that you're still in good shape.
Ken Novak, Vice President, Senior Financial Consultant at Charles Schwab Chicago. Thanks for being with us on the Opening Bell, Ken.
Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
You too.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, Dow futures are higher by about 10 points. The NASDAQ and S&P treading water in positive territory as well. Hard to say if there will be a positive open on Wall Street later this morning. The futures have been back and forth all night. It's generally steady night overseas in Europe and in Asia. Let's find out what's happening on the commodities and ag markets. And here is Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. Some surprising trading took place yesterday at the Mercantile Exchange and the Board of Trade in light of those government USDA reports on pig crop production and on wheat, corn, and soybean production. As a matter of fact, lean hog futures, after a lot of traders said it was a bearish report, ended the day higher. The nearby October, which will expire shortly, up 15 cents for the day. But February lean hogs ended the day up $1.95 a hundredweight. Cattle futures, on the other hand, struggled throughout the day. The October live cattle contract down 12 cents, but the October feeder cattle contract gained $1.20. And yesterday we did see the grain markets with corn rallying, lifted by trades that bought the grain and sold wheat after last week's quarterly stocks report. Chicago wheat slipped, soybeans rose to their highest since September 23rd on short covering gains in soybean meal. And so for the day yesterday, we saw the nearby wheat contract down 6 3/4, but December corn ended the day up 9 1/4 cents, its highest price since midsummer, and November soybeans ended the day up 20 1/2 cents. And after the market closed, USDA said that 24% of the corn crop had been harvested by Sunday. 26% of the soybean crop had been harvested as of Sunday. Today, opening day at World Dairy Expo in Madison, Wisconsin. It continues through Saturday. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
You have a great day as well, Orion. 5:54 now. A couple of closing notes here. In from Stockholm, Sweden, where the Nobel Academy has awarded the Nobel Prize in Physics this morning. And it goes to the folks at Princeton University. Duncan Haldane is the winner of the prize, along with David Thewlis and Michael Kosterlitz. They're revealing the secrets of exotic matter, such as superconductors, materials that conduct electricity with no loss of resistance. The awards being announced again this morning in Stockholm, Sweden, by the Nobel Peace Prize, the Nobel Prize Academy there. The greatest benefit to mankind is what Alfred Nobel would say, the 2016 Nobel Prize in Physics. Also this morning, we're learning that Canada has decided to move forward with joining the Paris Accord on Climate Change. The Justin Trudeau, the Canadian Prime Minister, announcing that Canada will start imposing a tax on carbon emissions starting in 2018 as part of its efforts to meet targets set by the Paris Accord. Some interesting news out of Iran today. The head of that country's space agency says it is interested in working with NASA on space exploration. The Iranians have been walled off by the long-held sanctions that were against that country that were lifted last year. Now scientists in all numbers of areas of that country coming back to life, including apparently science and space. NASA, no comment yet from NASA on that or the federal government, but Iran says it wants to work with NASA. We'll continue to follow your money throughout the morning today on the WGN Associated Bank calendar as we move forward. The day book for things happening ahead. No major reports in terms of economic reports that could drive the markets today, but we do have a couple of big events today, including the vice presidential debate later tonight. That obviously will be something that all investors will be watching today. We'll be continuing to watch some of the markets, world markets, as they impact the U.S., specifically how the Deutsche Bank investigation might play out. Will there be any news in that area today that could drive banking sector markets, shares here in this country? Obviously, we'll continue to follow all aspects of that.